Today is August 30th, 2010. Welcome to Your Destiny. Hope you're having a great Monday today. I certainly have. The weather's been so beautiful here in North Carolina. I love living in the mountains. I was out this morning dodging poison ivy on my trail that I was hiking on. Okay, welcome to the show. You might be new. If you're new to the show, we're talking about destiny. And we're talking about how the science of the cards can be useful for all of us to understand our life path and what's going on. And not only that, why we're here, what we're good at, what we're not so good at, what our karma is this lifetime, both good and bad, what we've come here to experience, what we've come here to learn, who we've come here to be with and why, the significant relationships in our life, the people that we have karmic and past life connections with, when significant events will happen in our life. All of this and more is available to you, knowledge that I certainly hope can be very practical and useful. It certainly has been for me and for thousands and thousands of people who've been using this system through over the years. This is practical knowledge. This is knowledge that can be put to practical use. I mean, just imagine the benefit of knowing if you knew ahead of time. Let's say, for example, that it would be a really good time to expand your financial making operations, whatever they are, whatever scale your business or work would be on. Or what if it was during an opportune time, it might be time to ask for a raise, or it might be time to expand your business in some way. Wouldn't it be nice to know that ahead of time? And you can know that. When you might meet somebody new. Now, I want to qualify this because it's important to know that anybody can refuse opportunities presented them. I say this because I've had a lot of clients, you know, who they've basically given up on relationship altogether. And even though they have opportunities, they're not even looking for them. So the cards that show these things are meaningless to them because they've already stopped. And a lot of people are in that position, or they're blocking relationship and don't know it. They're not aware of it. And they're unconscious about it. And those are the people that will tell you they're trying to have a relationship or trying to meet somebody. The trying part tells you that the part of them that doesn't want relationship is much stronger than the part that does. So as a demonstration for this system, I do readings on the show after our little discussion. I have a topic here Monday night, and then we take a break, and after that we open up our phone lines, and I'm sure the lines are filling up or already full already, but we have four lines, and if you got the email, you have those in there. Also, as a demonstration, today is August 30th, and someone born today would be signified by the Nine of Hearts birth card. And they're a Virgo, so the Mercury card in their life spread becomes what we call the ruling card. Both extremely significant symbols of who they are, Nine of Hearts and Seven of Clubs. Very interesting, and one thing that stands out to me when I see this birthday is that both cards are spiritual numbers. Nine and seven are the two spiritual numbers. Nine of Hearts is a card that gets the most satisfaction by giving to others, not by being selfish or thinking of themselves. And some would say they have a lot of disappointments in love as a result of that. And many Nine of Hearts do. The Seven of Clubs, on the other hand, is a challenge card in terms of the mind and not letting the mind go to the negative. It's a card that can go extreme negative and extreme positive mentally. It can be enlightened, and at the same time, it can be down, depressed, negative, pessimistic, all these things. So, people born today, we have actor Timothy Bottoms and actress Shirley Booth from a long time ago. Cameron Diaz was born today. TV talk show host Lisa Ling. We have actress Peggy Lipton of the Mod Squad and actor Fred McMurray and baseball player Ted Williams. I was also looking, there was also some other, Lawrence Jackson, football player, famous football player, born today. It's not necessarily a sports birthday, but the Seven of Clubs creates a desire in people to achieve a measure of reputation and fame. So many of them will, over the period of their life, they'll achieve a high place in their work. So, happy birthday to anybody born today. Hope you're having a great day. And if you are, or if you haven't recently, please call in and ask for a birthday reading to find out what influences you have in the coming year. Our topic tonight is called The Magical Way Out of Any Bad Situation. Or, as I've said also, How to Be the Houdini of Negativity. And what I mean by that is how to be the Houdini that can escape from the negative situation in your life. I wanted to start out by talking about this morning. I woke up, I usually wake up about 8 to 8:30, and it was 8 o'clock, and I was just lying in bed. All of a sudden, somebody knocked on the door, and it was a guy who was coming here to work, and it was very loud, and I sort of made a plan in my mind of what I was going to do in the morning, and it wasn't dealing with this guy who knocked on the door, but he came, and then within 10, 15 minutes, another knock on the door, and somebody else was here to do something else. One was expected, one was unexpected. So there I was in a situation where my whole plan for the morning was basically gone. And I watched myself sort of resist the situation. I saw myself get into, negativity about the situation. Wow, you know, how can I change this? How can I? And not accepting it at all. And I saw that I had an opportunity there. If I wanted to, I could get really negative about it. I could go into some kind of negative mental thing about it. Or I could just maybe embrace it and just kind of be with it. And be with my feelings about it as well. That was part of the situation at that point, was I have my own feelings about it. So I got up and just kind of dealt with it and flowed with it, and everything worked out really well. But it reminded me clearly about how life is like this all the time for all of us. You know, there's always things happening that happen unexpectedly or outside of the realm of what our expectations are. Let's put it that way. And we'll say, oh, that irritates me. So it can be irritation, it can be upset, it can be something really, really tragic, like somebody you love leaving you and breaking up with you, or even a death in the family. Or it can be just something minor, like somebody leaving the toilet seat up or leaving the cap off of the toothpaste. It doesn't matter, really. All of these situations are all kind of like the same thing. It's not really about what happened. It's really about our relationship with what happened. When you really think about it, it's not actually what's happening in our life. It's about the way that you or I are relating to that. What do we make it into? Or how do we connect or disconnect from it? Now, your life is your life, and my life is my life, and everybody's life is unique, and we're all sitting here or standing here or whatever we're doing, but we're experiencing our life from a unique perspective. Two people can be in the same room, and one person will notice certain things, and the other person won't notice those things. They might be focused on something else, or in many cases, one person may not notice anything because they're so caught up in thinking about what's going on. They're thinking. So we can say that each person has a unique experience that is all their own. It's every whatever you're experiencing in your life is particular to you. And not only that, but the way that you or I translate that, whatever happens, whatever we make that into, is uniquely us. You know, I mean, you could have five people watch a car accident, who witness a car accident, sit down and describe it, and you'll get five different stories off it. I mean, even in simple things like that. So you might say it's all about the interpretation. It's all about the interpretation. So let's just look at that for a moment. There's an old saying that says, there are no accidents in life. Okay, do you believe that's true? Think about it for a moment. Do you believe there are no accidents? If you do believe that there are no accidents, then that belief comes with it. What comes with that belief is that everything is perfect. Everything is being guided, you might say, by some higher force. Everything that happens to us is being guided by some higher force. Okay, is that true? I mean, do you really believe that to be true? Now ask yourself and be honest about it. You know, do you believe it? Or do you believe that there's just randomness in life and everything happens just accidentally and basically anything could happen to anybody at any time and there's no rhyme or reason to it? What is your perspective on this? Think about this for a minute. I think most spiritual people tend to believe that there are no accidents. It's a belief that we hold, a lot of us. So let's discuss that a little bit. If we're to believe that God created the world, and God can be any God that you, or anything that you choose, but that God is this all-powerful force that is, you know, all-knowing, and that God doesn't make any mistakes, then we have to assume that everything has been created perfectly the way it is. So when there's a problem that comes up with what happens, the question I have for you is, where's the problem? Is the problem in what happened or is it in us at that time? And often, when it bothers us. Sometimes it doesn't bother anybody else, just us. I mean, that's frequently the case. Think about it for a minute. Somebody else experienced the same thing. Nothing didn't bother them. Bothered you, though. So what's going on? So if the problem is within us, what is the problem? And can we change the problem? I mean, this is where the magic comes into the situation, you know, is realizing that for whatever reason, and we don't need to know the reason, for whatever reason, in that moment, we have assumed, you or I have assumed the position of being an enemy to whatever shows up in our life. Now, I mean, this can take very simple forms, like just sitting around and criticizing something or commenting in a negative way about something you read, saw, experienced, heard, or anything is a form of this, just a mild form of it. But it gets way bigger in the sense of like when there's a situation where we become really upset and emotional and, you know, angry and we take action based on that. We attack somebody else and so forth and so on. So what is the problem if it's happening? The problem is that we have assumed a fighting position against what is happening. Think about that for a minute. This is really, really key to understand. If I'm upset, if I'm negative, pessimistic, even in a mild way, and if I'm really upset, devastated by something that happened, I have to be in a position that's anti. Anti means against. Against what is. So here's something is right in front of me, and like this morning when the guy knocked on the door, two guys knocked on the door and were ready and needed some help and assistance before I'd even woken up, and that was the situation. And I had a choice. I could be negative about it, I could complain, or I could harmonize myself. And think about this. You know, what if life really is perfect? Like, what if everything that happens in our life to us that we experience directly, what if it was actually the most wonderful, beautiful, amazing, perfect, life-giving thing that could possibly happen to us? Maybe that's what really is true, though we cannot see it. We can't see it all the time. We can't see it very much at all, actually. I think it's rare that we see it. But what if that's really true, and the real problem is in the way we relate to what is? Whatever that is. I mean, you might be in a really negative situation, right? You might be threatened about losing your job or losing your home. That may be up for you. You may be in a relationship that's threatening to break, or one that just broke, split up. Somebody you love may have passed away recently. So here is something that is, and it is there specifically for you, and it's real. It is real. So the only question is, will we be friends with it, or we will be enemies with it? Are we going to be friends with what is, or enemies with what is? Which is it? What are we going to do? And just look around you right this very moment in your life, and whatever you're doing right now while you're listening to this, look around and see, and ask yourself if you are friends with things around you, friends with how you're feeling inside, friends with what's going on, friends with the quality of your life and the situation, or are you at war with yourself, your condition, your health, your relationships, everything, your job, your partner, if you have one, or your lack of a partner? Where does it stop? Like, where do we start to become okay with what's real? Because this is what's real out there. And maybe we never spend enough time with what's real to really know the magic that's actually found inside of it. Even the feelings we have, you know, we're at war with our own feelings. We don't want to feel what we feel half the time. We go through great lengths to avoid feeling what we feel about lots of things, like even about ourself, you know. What do we feel about ourself? So the magical way out of any so-called bad situation is to stop and just be with and become friends with what is. Even if that just means being okay with how negative you feel inside about what's going on. Just being okay with those feelings that you have. That's enough right there. That's enough to transform everything, whatever you're going through. The bottom line is, you know, as I understand it, is really, and I've experienced this, the bottom line is, like, we got to start with how we feel about what's going on first. And if we're angry or upset or some other negative emotion, we have to first embrace that before we can let it go. But then we can let it go, because then we can just become friends. We can let go. We can start to see the beauty in what is. I remember once I had this class planned. I was going to teach this class. I was on the calendar of this metaphysical bookstore, and I was really looking forward to it. And they called me one day and said, "I'm sorry, we double booked. We accidentally booked somebody else in the same room, and we got to give it to him because he was there first." Now, I could have gone into my usual thing, which would have been to try to make them feel bad about it in order to get them to change it so I would have the class. But instead, I remember that day because I just let it go. And I said, "Well, who is the other guy?" And I happened to know him. And I ended up helping him promote that class. And I ended up getting even more people at the class that I finally got. Now, when it happened to me, it was a negative thing. I had no idea that hidden within that was actually a much more beautiful thing. And I also realized, too, immediately after I let go of it, that really, I didn't really want to do that class so soon because I was making so much progress writing a new book. And I really wanted to keep working on that. It was after I let go of my fighting attitude towards what happened that I saw that it was God's love for me. It was really responding to what I really, in my heart, I really wanted. It's amazing how it is. Imagine if all of our resistance to what is, all of it, is just simply ludicrous. It's insanity, and we don't know it. I think that's true. You'll have to test that for yourself and find your own truth about it. So that concludes our talk, and we're just about ready to open our phone lines. We're going to have a short break. Sit back and enjoy this song. I really enjoyed listening to it earlier today, and I think you might too. It's a very kind of a relaxing song and peaceful. I call it Flying. I hope we'll be right back after this song. Thank you. flying. Hope you enjoyed that. Our lines are full. Our lines are open. And we're going to get started with your calls. Hopefully we'll get a birthday person here, but our first caller is from California. Her name is Deborah. She's a Scorpio Four of Diamonds, November 3rd, 1958. 51 years old. Are you there, Deborah? I'm liking it more and more.
I'm so glad for you.
There was so much work to get moved in, renovation. It's an old house built in 1926, and we had to do some renovation work. But now it's starting to feel like home, and I love being in the mountains.
It sounds wonderful. It just sounds wonderful. Well, my question is, me coming up on my 52nd birthday, you know, I have been studying the cards, and I know next year is a big year for me, but I feel that whenever I've gone through a major change, almost a metamorphosis, as I guess Scorpios are known for, that I've almost pre-rehearsed this ending cycle that I'm supposed to be going through, and I almost feel like when I actually reach my 52nd birthday, the nines won't feel so heavy, and I almost feel like excited, like I could start something new. Is that, am I totally out of sync with what it should be?
Well, no, I don't think you're out of sync, but I would warn you because the ending, this, you got three big nines this year. You know this,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The environment card is a nine, which means that part is going to be easy, okay,
and fun,
but it hasn't happened yet.
Right.
Okay, so it's not likely, though I can't say, you know, 100%, but it's not likely that you're going to start something new until the nines have been experienced. And there are lots of them.
I know it. And the funny part is this last couple, maybe three or so months, I have been experiencing a lot of letting go situations, things that had been hanging on for a long time and had really, really entrenched themselves in my life or in my psyche. And I truly feel them leaving me. You know,
you have some nines this year, too.
Mm, okay.
So you have a nine of diamonds Pluto this year.
Gotcha.
I know you were hoping to get out of these nines next year. I could tell.
Well, I just want to make the pedaling a little bit fast, smoother and faster. You know how it is.
Well,
because I want
a
running start,
have to
I guess.
Be. See, the age 52 is a blessed year. It doesn't have to be some typical Scorpio, you know, painful death and rebirth process. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It can be, like you said, something that's more like freeing and letting go, but not in a real negative drag you through all kinds of drama stuff. Okay?
I hate drama. I guess I'm true to all the even numbers that are in my Neptune line. I like peace and quiet. I like things stable. I like things smooth as glass. And it kind of makes for kind of a little bit of a boring life in someone else's book. But, you know, I like things just run smoothly. You know,
well,
and
it's your life. You can live it how you like. You know, it's your life.
Right.
So, you know, it's good that you take responsibility and live it the way you want to live it. But this year is the most blessed year of life, and you should be open to really good things coming your way. And letting go of anything is only going to be good for you. It's only going to pave the way. But it's not a year that I would say is a year of, you know, something new starting so much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That will probably happen in the following year, actually.
This is what's, I guess, troublesome for me. I 100% believe you. For whatever reason, somehow the history in my life has been whenever there's been a major change, it would be the prior year that I kind of lived what a lot of other people would be talking about. 30 was supposed to be tragic. Another year was supposed to be big, you know, and it always happened in a sense like I was experiencing it, you know, emotionally or psychically even a year before. You know, I was getting, you know, definitely a true essence of it ahead of time. And it could just be that I'm a very Neptune person and I'm just,
you are experiencing nines this year already. It's just going to be more next year. And I wouldn't even guess as to what it all is going to mean. I wouldn't even try to guess that.
Really? Be ready for letting go.
That's right. Just what I would do is just say to God, hey, whatever it is that is not good for me anymore, take it. Take it. I'm ready to let go of anything. There's an old saying is, and the old saying is, would you give up everything you have to have what you really, really want? Think about that.
That's definitely something to gnaw on for sure.
Because in your case, with all these nines, that's going to come up for you, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that.
It's a sense that there almost is no choice.
Well, there'll always be a choice. You cannot stop it, but you can fight
against it.
Won't do you any good, but you can.
No, I'm not interested in that. I'm a pretty spiritual person. I just, and that actually brings me to another thing, which is the nines. I guess that's why I'm feeling much more in tune spiritually. I've been going far more into metaphysics. I'm interested in reading professionally as a destiny card reader. You know, I've been taking tarot classes. I've just been really saturating myself in that whole realm. You know, it's like a part that had been, you know, fallow for so long.
That's wonderful.
You know, and
that
I'm just
great.
Really tuning back in.
Yes. Well, we'll talk again before next year. So I think you're all set for this one coming up, though.
So this spiritual feeling is part of this letting go where I'm kind of getting aligned with the energy of,
You've had a taste of it this year. It's going to be a lot more, though.
Okay.
A lot more.
I appreciate that. As long as you're not seeing anything like terribly tragic or
nothing
you know,
tragic.
Anything
sorry.
Like that. I'm so, believe me, it's a welcome, you know, music to my ears that it won't be anything.
You just got to remember one thing. The age 52 is the most blessed year of life. Just remember that, okay? That's all you got to take away from this talk conversation tonight. Okay?
Great. And 52
all right,
was good for you, too.
Thank you so much. I appreciate talking to you.
Oh, thank you, Robert. I appreciate it. Take care.
All right. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Next up is a caller from Hollywood, California, named Misty. She's a Nine of Diamonds, King of Clubs, April 12th, 1974, 36 years old. Are you there, Misty?
I am. Hello, Robert.
Hello. How are you?
Great. Happy to be a caller tonight. So based on the cards, I'm wondering if you see anything that's in store for me that may be significant, that perhaps I may meet someone new or collaborate with a partner on a project?
Well, there's a really strong indication that between September 15th and November 6th, you're going to start a new project. It's very strong.
That being from Jupiter card?
Yeah, that's during your Jupiter period. You have an Ace of Spades and you have your King of Clubs. You're a King of Clubs, you know. You're Nine of Diamonds and a King of Clubs. Okay.
Right.
So that's it. That's when it's going to happen. And it looks like a partnership of some kind because there's a Two of Diamonds underneath that Ace of Spades. Okay. So I would be very open to that if I were you, especially if it occurs at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not that long from now. It's only a couple weeks. So.
Okay.
As far as romantic goes, I don't know about that. Is there somebody romantically that you're interested in?
Well, there's someone I started seeing, and I know he's like a Three of Spades, and I noticed, I think he falls in my spiritual spread.
Uh-huh. Kind of like Tiger Woods,
I
guess,
don't know.
Huh? Tiger Woods is a Three of Spades.
I did hear that on your last week recording.
You probably didn't want to hear that one again.
Yeah. Well, okay, well, about the Nine of Diamonds, my understanding is that it's a card of a completion or something. I feel like I've already went through a whole bunch of challenges, and I'm not sure if I've satisfy that completion, but it's just a lifelong
thing. It's really like the thing that for Nine of Diamonds is it's an attitude that there's never enough, that they're born with. They always feel like they're not getting enough. I don't know what it is about them. They all, you know, to some extent, they're all like that. That's what has to be let go of. And I've just told you the most important thing you'll probably hear in your whole life.
Well, that's the funny thing. I don't feel like I'm never satisfied. I feel, if anything, I don't feel like I do enough, if anything,
well,
like that.
Well, it's more like Nine of Diamonds feel like more like they give more than they get from other people. It's really mostly it shows up in relationships. They feel like they're the one always giving and nobody gives back in equal amounts. I mean, it can be that they feel like life doesn't give back to them in equal amounts. It varies. You know, there's some room for differences to show up, of course. You have to figure out what it is for you. But I can tell you that the Nine of Diamonds, any nine is going to be find happiness in giving, not in taking. That's just the way
now,
it is.
I also notice sometimes with the Queen of Diamonds in relation to me, is this whenever I see this card arise, I should be concerned about, or?
Well, you're the one, if you meet a Queen of Diamonds, you're the one who is likely to have problems with the Queen of Diamonds, not the other way around.
Right. Okay.
Because when they see you, they see their second karma card, and they go, oh, I just love you, but you're the one that goes, I hate those Queen of Diamonds. They're so arrogant.
Well, okay.
That's what happens.
Great,
that's what happens. You know, it happens frequently. So, you know, whenever we meet our first karma card, we're the ones that bear the responsibility for how things go.
Right.
Because we're the ones that are being affected, and we're the ones that are reacting to however they're being. You follow me?
Yeah.
So like my first karma card is a Three of Diamonds. So, you know, I see a Three of Diamonds and I say, why are you guys always whining about not having enough? But that's my responsibility, not really them, see? Because they're reflecting back to me something that's inside of me. You got it?
Okay. Got it.
So if you don't like a Queen of Diamonds, it's because you don't like the same thing in yourself.
Mm.
So
when you read both of the phases, you read both the primary ruling card and the birth card, and is
oh yeah
the primary
yeah
ruling
absolutely
card
is- always read both the birth card and the ruling card spreads. Yeah, definitely. If I'm doing a reading, but on the show here, I just focus on the birth card spread because it's stronger, it's more important, it's more significant.
Okay, so the birth card is.
Sometimes I pop over and look at the ruling card for the people on the calls, but not always because we don't have that much time, you know.
Hmm. Okay, is there anything that I should know about my long-range card, the Two of Spades?
Well, you talked about working with somebody, didn't you?
Okay, so that's where I would get that from?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've already mentioned it, so I think you're on track with that.
Okay.
My suggestion is that you continue along that track. Does that make sense?
Okay, that does. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Have a great night. And thanks for being my guest tonight. I appreciate talking
to
you. All right. Good night. Okay. Next up is Nancy. Now, she's a Three of Spades. I was talking about Tiger Woods, but she's an Ace of Diamonds Three of Spades. December 4th, 1955, she's 54 years old. Are you there, Nancy?
Hello, Robert.
Hello, how are you?
Great, thanks. It's wonderful to talk with you.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you feel that way. Have you called before?
Yes, really enjoyed your topic tonight about timing and, for me, tying into attitudes. I have been waiting out a situation for like 6 years and thought it might be interesting to sort of get some feedback on it's actually, this relates to my beloved soul horse and her cards, and she's had a mysterious lameness issue and nobody has seemed to be able to solve it. So I thought it might be fun to look at what's going on in her cards and see if there might be some answers.
Yeah, so you own a horse that's lame? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, she has some little mysterious slight lameness problem that we have not been able to solve in 6 years.
And what's the end result of this lameness? I mean, what's the negative about the lameness? Like, what's the problem with that?
I can't ride her.
I'm sorry?
And the way I've adjusted and tried to be positive with it, I have done, you know, I play with her on the ground and do some other things.
Well, I'm just asking, so what's the big problem with it? Like, what's the problem that it creates or causes or, you know, like, okay, she's lame, so what? What does that mean?
Okay, so what it means is I can't ride her, and she and I both really have enjoyed going out and riding out in nature and taking her on the trail and all that. I can't do any of that.
Well, I really don't. I personally don't look at the cards for animals. I'm not sure. I mean, there's probably people that do. I just never have done it myself. I can't speak for a horse. I personally don't have those kind of relationships with animals like other people do, you know. So I could speak to something about you, but I don't think I'd feel qualified talking about an animal.
Oh, okay. Well, the other interesting thing, if we want to shift for a moment, being the Ace of Diamonds and Three of Spades, I've been laid off 4 times since 9/11 and gone through all of that. And my cards this year absolutely looked fabulous. And I landed a really wonderful job. However, there's part of me that's doing a little bit of worrying, so I'm trying to get over that and not tap into that because after 4 times, I guess I'm feeling a bit gun-shy, like when the other shoe is going to drop.
Well, you've been worrying your entire life.
That's true.
Because you're a three, and threes always worry, okay?
Okay.
So, I mean, if you just know that about yourself, you can kind of lighten up a little bit. Oh, there I go, worrying again. Of course, I always worry about everything. Even if it's going good, I'm still worried about it. You follow me?
Right.
So, you know, there is no real solution to that except for you to realize that it's just your head kind of going out of control there. See? It's your mind going out of control.
Okay, and I am
getting
better.
I mean, you're having all this good luck, and you're sitting there thinking about, it's going to go bad any moment now. I just know it. Yeah. That's very unsage-like, you know?
I know.
Don't you feel like that you should really kind of like be Miss Happy-Go-Lucky? That's what Sagittarians are like, right?
Right. However, I do have a
Scorpio
ascendant.
They're lucky.
So then I know that can be a heavy energy.
Good things always come to Sagittarians, and it comes when they're not worrying, not when they're worrying, right?
Awesome.
So your responsibility is just to stay focused on all the good stuff that you have. And just be grateful, because there's so many good things happening to you, even right now, right?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
It's exactly what I was talking about in the beginning of the show. Make friends with what's happening. See? It's as simple as that. And you have a lot to be grateful for. It's not going to be hard for you. You can just look around and be happy. Of course, you can always worry about, oh, it's not going to last. Well, nothing. Guess what? Nothing's going to last.
That's true.
You can count on that. You're going to lose that job sooner or later. It's going to happen, okay? It's going to happen. And it's not the end of the world. You've lost jobs before. You happen to still be breathing. I don't know how you managed, but you're still alive.
True, yes.
Yeah, you're
and
doing fine.
The other side.
You're doing just great, actually. So just keep that in the top of your mind instead of all this, you know. It's just your mind going nutty. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Just don't believe
it. Right, because I find every little slight thing at work, and then I'm, you know, my mind could go off on that. So
exactly,
I'm trying to stay more focused.
Just say, okay, it's not worth it. You know, just rise above all that stuff, and you'll be happier. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you.
Great talking to you, Nancy. Thanks for being my guest tonight. Have a great night.
Thanks. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Okay, time for our next little break here. And when we come back, we'll finish up with some more calls. A short song here called And this is good for a lot of us. Seasons change. Any of you who are going through a little transition to now, remember, seasons do change. Okay, seasons do change, and we flow, we change. Unfortunately, we get older. That's the hard part. Okay, this must be Three of Spades now. We have another Three of Spades calling in. Her name is, so let me see, do I have this correct? Make sure I have the right person. Wait a minute. Who am I speaking to?
Nancy.
Nancy, January 31st, 1949, is that correct?
Yes.
Welcome to the show, Nancy. You're our second Nancy tonight.
Great. Thank you, Rob. I had a question because I'm in my Saturn period of the year, and I was wondering, should I just wait to start new business negotiations? Is it bad to start in your Saturn period?
Ordinarily, I would say yes, but in your particular case, your Saturn cards are so strong this year.
Yeah.
That I don't think it would be necessary to wait. Why didn't you start it in your Jupiter period, though?
See, I just found out about things in my Jupiter period. Like, I was learning about new financial information.
Uh-huh, okay.
So that, and I talked about it, but to actually put everything in writing, I didn't do that yet. So I was wondering if I should wait for the next.
I think it'd be okay to do it in this period. Your cards are so strong right now. You'd want to take advantage of those if possible.
Right. So it's like, like contradictory in a way.
I don't see any contradiction. Where do you see contradiction?
No, Saturn. You know what Saturn is.
Well, yeah, Saturn. But see, Saturn has more meanings than people often really know. You know, it has positive meanings as well. And
okay.
Like Saturn can, it relates to career and reputation, and it can be a beneficial influence under certain circumstances, okay?
Yes.
And plus, you're an Aquarian, and Aquarians are not, they don't get the negative of Saturn as much as other signs do.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it's
true.
But we're totally ruled by Saturn.
Aquarians used to be ruled by Saturn. I mean, in the old days, Saturn was considered the ruler of Aquarius. And that may explain why Saturn doesn't bother Aquarians as much as it does other sun signs. Okay?
Right.
Yeah, it's possible. Not absolutely sure about that, but that's a possibility. So my advice is go for it.
All right. Thank you, Robert.
Okay, have a great night. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, our next caller is Ilsa, I think, from California. Now, Ilsa, you've requested not to have your birth year on the air, but I'm going to have to announce it if you want to be on the show. So you can choose right now. Are you there?
Yes, I'm there. Okay, fine. All right, go ahead.
Thank you. April the 5th, 1961. Is that like supposed to be really old or what? What's the deal?
Well, I don't know. It's just people have this thing about age, you know. So
Oh, yeah, they do. You can't stop it. You cannot change them. So you have to lie to them.
men don't have that thing, you know. But either way, it doesn't matter.
But you can't lie to your astrologer, though. So what's up?
I wrote to you a while back about I was born on the cusp of April 4th, and you told me that it was really April 5th. But my question is, in my life, everything has been closing. Every door has been closing, like one after the next. There just is nothing opening. And I
for
have,
how long?
Like,
for how long?
Pardon?
For how long has this been going on?
For about 4 years. Very solid.
4 years. Okay.
It doesn't matter what I do. It just doesn't. Nothing opens up. And I have coming up in the next phase, which is I'm in Mars now. It's a Jupiter. Yeah, going to Jupiter. 6 weeks. I have one of the cards is the death card. You know. So my only conclusion that I've come to so far is that I guess there is no more life energy and. It's probably time to die soon. I mean, I don't know what else to make of it.
Well, I think you're a three of spades, and you're exaggerating a little bit. You're going crazy there a little bit. Okay? Why don't you let me interpret that for you? I'd be happy
All right.
To. Okay. So the nine of spades, you have to understand that nines can have a positive side too. My books don't go into the positive side too much because most people who read the books aren't all that conscious and that's how they're going to experience it. But a person who's conscious, a nine can bring what is called fulfillment.
Okay.
It can bring like the fulfillment of something you've wanted for a really, really long time. So a nine in Jupiter could bring like actually a situation that comes up that's really, really fulfilling work-wise.
Okay.
Okay?
That would be nice.
And you have a five of spades there, too, you know, which could also mean like a big change in your life, It could be work that causes you to move or to have a real change in your lifestyle. This is a good year for change. If you see an opportunity to change, even to move, Ilsa, you should take it. Do you understand?
And I'm completely open to all that. But like I said, everything I have done or looked towards or looked as opportunities, it's just like it's not working out.
You have gone through some nines in the last couple of years. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So there was some things you had to let go of.
Right.
Okay.
I have.
And I think that's over though. I really do. I think that's behind you now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time to look ahead for something good to show up in your life.
Okay. And I am. So how do I assist it to show up?
Well, try not to worry so much. Try not to be negative thinking about it. That would be helpful.
Okay.
Be open to change. It's going to come to you. You won't have to make it happen. You won't have to struggle to make it happen. It's going to be something that just happens.
Right.
Okay. That's basically all you can do.
Go ahead.
I said that's basically all you can do.
Okay. So the fact that everything has been closing up to this point.
You got to be really careful with that, you see, because now that's become part of your story, okay, about your life. And we have an unconscious tendency to want to hang on to our stories. Even if it's a bad story, when we make a story up about our life, and you got the story now that all this bad stuff, all the doors have been shutting in your face, just having that story is enough to prevent something good from happening. Do you understand?
I do, but I do, yeah.
So get rid of that story. Get rid of that story. I don't want to hear it anymore. Do you want to hear it anymore?
No, of course not.
Okay, let's get rid of it. Let's be done with that. See? Let's say, okay, that's enough of that story. It's getting kind of old. It's kind of worn out. Let's have a new story. Let's just let that one go. Follow me?
Okay. Yeah,
okay.
I do. Okay.
So don't tell anybody else that story anymore. There's your commitment right there. That's something you can do. That's something that you can do positively now while you're waiting for this door to open, is that you say you commit yourself to, I'm not going to tell that story to anybody ever again.
Okay.
Including myself.
Including myself. Okay.
Yeah, and then just be open.
You might
feel a little lonely without the story for a while, but you'll get over that.
That's right. Okay.
I laugh. I'm not laughing at you because this is how we all are. You know, it's just human nature. It's not. You know, I'm just laughing because I do the same thing. You know, we're so crazy. You know, hanging on to our stories and stuff. It's just ridiculous, but we do. You know, we really do. Okay, so things look good. Things look good. I'm sorry, what did you say?
Yeah, how do I best open up the door then?
Did you not hear anything I just said?
I did, but I just want you to.
That's all that's required. That's all that's required.
Okay.
There's nothing you can do to accelerate it. All you got to do is stop preventing it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So just make a little space there for something beautiful to come in. And if anybody asks you how things are going, say, I'm just waiting for this beautiful opportunity to show up. I know it's coming.
Okay.
Robert told me so.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll hold you
All right.
Me.
Great.
Okay.
So thank you, Ilse, and good luck, and I'm sure it'll work out.
All right. Thank you, Robert.
All right. Have a great night.
Thanks. You too.
Thank you. Okay, our next caller is also a lot of California calls. Hey, folks, I don't live there anymore. Just kidding. So this is Sue from Santa Monica. She's a Capricorn. January 5th, 1955. Are you there, Sue?
Hi, Robert. I got through.
Yes, you did.
I like what you said about the stories.
Oh, thank you.
girl.
Sure helps me a lot to see my catch myself. When I catch myself, you know, running this story, I go, oh, there I go again.
And I love stories, though, too. I love other people's stories.
Yeah.
So, let's see. I'm looking at my cards on the computer. I scanned it from your book because it's kind of hard to read. It's so small. And I want to ask about a certain person who just all of a sudden came into my life
mm-hmm.
in my Saturn period. And I want you to tell me or help me find out who is this person to me. And I just know him on the phone. I have to tell you that.
Okay,
so
what's
his
birthday?
I don't know what he looks like. His birthday is June 13th, 1957, and I have his cards open, too. So
yeah, it's really amazing that his card is right there, right now, in your Saturn
smack
period.
Smack dab, I know, in the Saturn period.
Quite amazing. Well, and, don't you think? That's kind of amazing.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, fine. Go ahead.
Okay. So it's amazing that his card is showing right there on your Saturn period.
Yes.
And so how's the conversation been so far?
It's wonderful to me,
uh-huh.
anyway. And we talked for hours about philosophies
uh-huh.
and, you know, things like that.
And
not really.
Do you guys have similar kind of goals or ideas or desires when it comes to relationship?
Well, we haven't really talked about that. We just talk mostly about how we see things in the world and perceptions and psychology and things like that. He loves
uh-huh.
to talk about that, and he loves to talk. And most
uh-huh.
men don't listen to me.
Does he listen to you?
Pardon me?
Does he listen to you?
Yes.
Oh, that's
it's
wonderful.
Bizarre.
Well, you know, people of that birthday, he's a Two of Spades ruling card. You know, they think they know everything. They really do.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And they can be really annoying in some situations.
No, not yet.
Well, you know, he's dating. He's in the courting phase.
You think so?
Absolutely, I do.
So, well, but what? How do you? I try to look into his spiritual and life spread, and then compare it to mine. And I'm just feel dense. I'm trying to figure this out.
Well, okay. Well, don't try so hard about that right now. Just listen to what I'm telling you. Okay.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's going to be bad, but every person alive today has what Eckhart Tolle calls a pain body. And you want to know how bad it can get as much as you want to know how good it can get before you get involved. Follow me?
Yes, that's true.
You know, you want to know, like, what's he capable of, what happens when all of his buttons are pushed. Because eventually you are going to push all of his buttons. You know that, right?
Well, yeah, I hope so. Maybe
just
like
being
it.
Just being a woman and being different, you know, than a man means that you're going to eventually push all of his buttons. And, you know, you want to see it's the success of a relationship. And, you know, it's very likely you guys will end up in a relationship, by the way. The success of any relationship is really in how the people can handle the stuff that comes up after the dating phase. See?
Yeah, that's really, really, really tough for me.
Yeah, it's tough for everybody. See, it's really nice to be in this dating phase and you're feeling listened to and understood and you feel like you're somebody that thinks the same way. That's all beautiful. Nothing wrong with it. But that's not where it's going to end, see. It's going to keep going.
Right.
And you know, once you've had sex and you've opened up that little channel, am I shocking
know.
You here?
I haven't met him yet. Yes, you are.
Well,
kind of.
Well, okay, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to shock you. But,
no, that's
I mean,
okay.
That's,
go ahead.
That's when a man is talking to a woman, it's generally that's where the thing is headed, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he'd be attracted to me.
Oh, really? You don't think he's attracted to you, even though he's spending hours on the phone talking to you?
Well, he's never seen me.
Well, are you ugly?
I don't know if I might even weigh more than him. I don't know. No, I'm not. No, I.
Well, I tell you what, you have the sex card right now, so I'd be surprised if you don't get laid by September.
Yeah, but it's in Saturn.
Doesn't matter. You're a Capricorn. You know, Capricorns, like Aquarians, are kind of immune to Saturn. So I wouldn't be so concerned about that if I were you.
Oh.
Okay? I mean, you guys, I have a client I've had for years who's a Capricorn, and I've watched him go through everything, and Saturn just doesn't treat Capricorns the way it does everybody else.
Really? I've never heard you say that before.
Oh, yeah, I've said it. You haven't heard all my shows, but I have definitely said it before.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of them now.
Yeah. I believe you.
So listen, I'm telling you to keep enjoying it.
Keep going. Look, here you are in Saturn. You're having such a great time. You got to let go of this idea that Saturn's going to hurt you in some way. And just pursue it and see where it goes. And, you know, have sex and get that out of the way.
Oh, I don't know. That might completely blow my mind.
Well,
it's too intense for me. It's just too overwhelming.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying you got to do it tomorrow or anything. I'm just saying.
No.
Yeah, it'll come up. It'll come up soon enough.
Really?
Unless this guy is impotent.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
<Not likely>.
And you're the one with the sex cards right now, so, you know. I hate to scare you.
Next year, it's the displacement card. The Queen of Hearts is in Jupiter. And then the displacement card would contradict each other.
How's that? How good is that? You might get married next year.
Oh, I don't know. I just want to get
married. Okay, how much do you want to bet?
piece of pie?
What kind of pie? It better be good if we're going to bet.
I'll make you a cheesecake.
No, I don't like cheesecake. Maybe
like a pecan pie.
Now, that could be interesting. I'll bet you a pecan pie you're going to get married next year.
Wow. Very interesting.
So, I think that's all you need to hear from me tonight, Sue.
Okay.
So I'm going to let you go.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I love your show and everything about you.
Thank you so much, Sue.
Except that you don't.
All right. Have a great
night.
Like
animals that much. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, we are out of time. We have one more caller, but we're going to have to let her go because we're over time here. But thank you all for being here. I certainly enjoyed this relaxing evening. I hope you guys did, too. Hope you have a great week. And we'll be back again next Monday, same time. Until then, keep loving what is. There we go. That's it in a nutshell. Okay? Robert Lee Camp saying good night.
Om Purvama Swaha Tat Savitur Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo yo na prachodayat. Om Bhurvah Svaha Tat Savitur Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo yo na prachodayat. Om Bhurvah Svaha Tat Savitur Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo yo na prachodayat. Om Bhurvah Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yona Prachodaya. Om Bhurbhuva Svaha Tat Savitur Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yona Prachodaya. Deyo Yona Prachodaya.